ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, happy Friday, everybody. Coming to you from the little snow globe of New York City. There's no global warming. It got cold. There's snow. Okay, I got that out of the way. By the way, I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Have I ever mentioned that? It gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Oh, as you know, Chris, my marriage to Hal Sparks has been over. It's so 2 days ago.
Yes.
Because it's Friday, and I'm on the news.
That's right, David. I'm your cougar meat today.
With John Fugerson.
Back in spite of popular demand.
You sound better, John.
Thank you.
Yes.
You've been sick.
I am. I took the leper vaccine, and I'm feeling much better.
You had the grip.
Oh, I had the flu. I had a sinus infection. I was having headaches and pustules and running sores.
Oh, that's horrible. Enjoy breakfast, everybody. Eat up.
You know, these creationists who think that this is the final product of the human body. You know that God wants you to have sinus infections and hangnails and hemorrhoids and please.
Enough about the Republicans yesterday at the healthcare summit.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That's a hemorrhoid joke. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website, everybody. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice of deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Check out the calendar section. Mm-hmm. Mom is going to Chicago tomorrow to warm up. I'm going to speak to the DuPage County Democrats.
That's
so
right.
Check out how to get tickets for that. And what else is happening? Isn't it beautiful here?
It's gorgeous.
It is a little snow globe, Chris.
Yeah, but it's going to turn to slush tomorrow.
Oh,
it's going to turn to gray slush.
No, it was slush first, Chris. Yesterday, it was snow. It slushed. There were giant...
Yes, for instance, it's the opposite of my life. It's magically turned good now instead of turned to... It started as slush and gross yesterday, and now it's beautiful today.
There was so much slush that Snow Miser got bored and threw some actual snow on top of it. So it was very cold. All the dope fiends are shooting up under Snuggies in town.
Which is difficult to do because it kind of impairs your arms.
But you can still use the remote, so it all works.
Yeah, this is nice. So, John Fugelsang, what did you think of the healthcare summit yesterday? We geeked out the entire 6 hours almost.
Geek paradise? It was wonderful. Well, first off, I thought it was really interesting watching Obama and the Democrats because it was sort of like the X-Men if Wolverine was doing all the fighting and the other X-Men just sat and watched him. Because he didn't get a lot of support from the boys, did he? He was just out there knocking them down, and the Democrats were there, and Harry Reid at one point got so angry he almost tore the tassels off his loafers when he backed down.
And you don't want to see that.
And here's what's going to happen. The right-wing media is going to be using the arrogant meme again today.
Oh,
as y'all know out there in Steffland, arrogant is the new uppity. And because these Republican senators and congressmen addressed Obama as Mr. President, and he addressed them all by their first names...
Yes.
You will be seeing the arrogant charge leveled against him today. And I think he should have thought it through before doing that.
Oh, for the love of God. Please.
They're going to use it
you
against
You sound
him.
Like a Republican. It's the wrong size table.
They're going to use it
you,
against
the
him.
The president talked more minutes than the... Meh.
Oh,
did you see
that?
Mitch McConnell said that. Chris, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
The president, you talked more minutes than... It's like, yes,
he was the moderator.
I'm the president.
He was the moderator.
I'm the president.
Yes.
And Mitch only talks that
meeting.
Way because his chin is sliding off his head, okay? But... No, I thought it was wonderful. You know, I don't know.
Well, the person that looked the worst, I'm sorry, is Grampy McSame. Could he get any crankier meaner?
Oh, it's like watching your pet die. It's like watching a beautiful pet die. It's just, you know, this is the McCain that stood up against Bush 11 years ago. It's shocking.
I know. The president had to go, yeah, okay, the election's over, Grampy. Okay. Time to, all right. I got this president. I'm a fan. Oh, jeez.
McCain's been put out to pasture. Control your woman, McCain.
Dave writes, Steph, why health care reform isn't necessary if you're a right-wing asshat? As the nation struggled last year with rising health care costs and recession, the five largest health insurance companies racked up a combined profits of $12.2 billion, up 56% over 2008, according to a new report. And... Oh, here's a little added fun fact. They covered 2.7 million fewer people than they did the year before.
Because
that's how you make that kind of money, is you get rid of the sick people.
Uh-huh. That's how you make the money, kids.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Obama does support the public option, just not in public anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love the Republicans would do anything to not talk about insurance. Look over there, tort reform. Look at the guy. There's fraud and waste, and look over here. It's like anything but to mention the insurance companies. I mean, it was really...
You shouldn't be allowed to sue that doctor who operated on the wrong side of your brain, and that's our solution.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here's just a little, Chris writes an odd fun fact from the hearing. Something I just noticed about Ben Nelson, Steph, it just hit me. Ben Nelson looks like Burgermeister Meisterburger. Which he actually does. He sent photographic evidence. It's an uncanny likeness. Look at that, John. Chris, I'll have to send that to you to put up on the website. It is remarkable.
Wow.
What cartoon is that from? I'm forgetting.
The Year Without a Santa Claus?
Yeah.
No, that's from Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Heatmeister, Snowmeister were from Year Without a Santa Claus.
That's right.
You've been outgeeked.
I have.
Ha-ha. Oh, and Mark in Minneapolis with a great Scott Brown nickname. Dear Steph, let's call Scotty Brown the Senator Fold. The angel is a Senator Fold. I like that.
You can come to my tea party, Scott Brown.
Come on, the angel is a Senator Fold.
Scott Brown just got himself reelected this week.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, there's a little glimmer of hope. The Republicans and Democrats voted for the antitrust, for the health insurance industry to lose its antitrust exemption, which they should never have had in the first place.
Never should have had it.
All right. Oh, Christopher.
Yes.
I'm sure that you would like an update on yesterday's poo story. That involves, well, because I wish, now I'm thinking my dogs need health insurance because since I've moved here to Calcutta, humans, animals get sick.
Yes, they do. There's
just
weather.
Like in any third world
there's
country.
There's weather here. Yes, it happens.
Yes. Well, no, there's some sorts of pestilence, Chris, that infect the dog community here for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's as you recall, if you're keeping up with Mama's bills here in New York, Fred had a Giardia, which is technically beaver fever.
Mm.
It is, seriously. And so this is hundreds and hundreds of dollars later, and then he had some sort of bacterial overgrowth in his intestine, which led to another bout of...
delightful.
Okay, so now
How's that
Max,
drug working out, by the way?
Max got a Lestra diarrhea yesterday. Yes, so would you like to know the total bill, everybody, for yesterday's, we'll just call it incident? $205 to have the carpet cleaned, and $200 for the fecal tests, the latest round of fecal tests and medicine for Max, which was another $200. So $425, Mama is up to for this round of gastrointestinal distress. And then today, the results of the fecal test will come back, and then we'll see what other kind of medicine Max needs to be on now.
It sounds like God is fecal testing you.
Why were you feeding your dog Wow Chips?
Who knew that would be unwise? The whole bag, really? Okay.
Oh.
Next time she'll feed him Wise Chips.
Yes.
Yesterday was a little challenging. However, Max is feeling much better. This is my life pretty much revolves around some form of poo every day.
Wow. I was
whether it's just
about
picking it up or whether, you know, sometimes it's almost like an eighth grade science fair every day for me because I have to generally bring those to the vet.
Yeah, that's fun.
I'm collecting it not just for cleanliness but for scientific research.
It gives you something to talk about on the subway when you're carrying a container in your hand. Boy, I complain about cat vomit. I'm done.
My cat vomited yesterday.
Yeah, why do cats vomit so much? I don't understand that.
Because they lick themselves to keep themselves clean.
You would think after, you know, a hairball or two, they would kind of go, okay, maybe I shouldn't. Okay, one more time.
Wah, wah, wah. That's what 5:30 this morning, screaming Mimi on my bed, going, wah, 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 wah.
Wow, when Jim Ward gets here, we'll have to do he'll have to do Sassy.
Dueling hairballs.
In heat, and your cat with the hairball.
Sassy is no longer with us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Was that the cat that made the sound that Jim likes to make?
I think so.
The cat in heat? I think it might be another cat in heat.
It might be the neighbor's cat.
Guys, let's all just be really cool and not make any cat hairball impressions when Jim's around, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not cool.
Okay. All right. We have a big, big show coming up, by the way. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Keith Ellison, rockin' congressman from Minnesota. On the Newsmaker Hotline, we have Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. Representative Judy Chu is going to update us on the what all came out of the Toyota hearing.
She was on the committee that the hearings were in front of, so she was there.
Yeah. By the way, okay, this is just, you know how you're a grammar bug, Chris, and this is probably just going to be a stupid, why is his name, the guy that testified, why is it spelled differently than Toyota?
Well, because the company Toyota was anglicized way back in the 60s or maybe even the 50s, and it's probably, more correct to have the D nowadays.
My ex-husband, Hal Sparks, who was living with me for the last couple of days, we watched the hearings together, and he said it did look kind of like a bad Mickey Rooney sketch or something. Like, if you didn't know, you'd think, oh, this is a really...
A Howie Go Right Way thing?
Bad stereotype. Mm-hmm. Yes!
Okay. So that's probably the anglicized spelling back in the 50s, because Eisenhower liked to scratch off the word yo on the back of his truck. So.
And Representative Elliot Engel, a healthcare warrior, to give us his take on all yesterday's happenings. I think the good news is, I mean, at the end of the day, I think what we thought would happened, and that is the president signaled that we're going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, how is that constructive for the Republicans to keep bringing up, oh, we're going to scrap it. We're going to, after 6 hours, mm-hmm. Boehner and Mitch McConnell's like, we need to start with a clean sheet of paper. It's like the president's going, yeah. 7 hours ago, I told you I'm not doing that.
Right.
So if you'd like to start from here and talk about how we can come together, it's like, you know, you're going, have you been listening for 7 hours? We're not scrapping the bill. We're going forward, you know, with you or without you.
And that's them campaigning to keep their jobs, you know. They have to answer to lobbyists, not just their voters.
Yeah.
I mean, they can come out there and hate Muslims enough and be guaranteed re-election in their districts, but they've got to answer to lobbyists. And there's been 8 lobbyists for every legislator in D.C. over the last 2 weeks.
I love my other favorite moment was that little twit Eric Cantor. The president's like, hey, thanks, Carrot Top. Thanks for bringing along the props.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's all you got after all this time. Look how big it is. It is a big, you know, like the president was saying, we can pretend health care isn't complicated. It is.
It is.
Doesn't Eric Cantor remind you of the kid who always told on you in eighth grade?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. He is the twittiest twit. Yeah. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, so we have a jam-packed show. Lots to talk about. Our thoughts and yours on the big health care summit. In the meantime, you know, I talk all the time about Carbonite, but that's because I believe in it. And I get letters all the time from listeners saying it literally saved their life. Because today, Chris, you and I started radio in the horse-drawn days.
Yes, the steam-driven days.
Yes, when we edited, I don't know, tape with a razor
with
blade.
With a razor blade, a China marker, and editing tape. Yes.
We had to FedEx things to people on reel-to-reel. And
My grandma loved you guys back in the 20s.
Thank you.
Loved what you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, we came on right after Fibber McGee and Molly.
Today, if my computer or Chris's, if we lost our important file, that's it for the Stephanie Miller Show.
No.
Yes, that's it.
What could possibly prevent that from happening?
Well, because first of all, that would be gone. And I couldn't do the show without that.
Oh, no.
Or this.
I was hoping for that one. Thank you.
However, pretty much everything these days, I think, that most people use to run their lives, it's on your computer. So what are some of the things you have you couldn't imagine losing? If something happened to your computer and you lost all of those files, you'd be devastated.
Chris's porn collection. I couldn't live without it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I keep that on Stephanie's computer.
Well, she doesn't know.
If your important computer files are backed up with Carbonite, you can get them back easily. Do what I did. Sign up for Carbonite Online Backup today before anything happens. It automatically backs up your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. And check this out. $55, hello, for the entire year. That's less than $5 a month. Go to Carbonite.com right now and use my offer code Stephanie. That's a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com right now. You'll be glad you did. Don't forget, offer code Stephanie. You get a free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with all the haps and the crunchy audio business. The haps. The haps on healthcare.
I'm back in my haps up in Carbonite.
At the big summit,
God.
Yo. At the big summit, yo.
Oh, no.
As we continue.
Stop that.
Know what I'm saying?
Yep. Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ha. My Friday husband is trying to outdo my Wednesday husband.
Oh,
that's right.
Because I explained how Sparks put together my P90X chin-up bar, and he went grocery shopping for me, and he brought me flowers, and he just bought my dog's bones.
Nice appetizer for you. Good warm-up act.
John Fugles thing brought me my emergency.
That's right, baby. And I took my time doing it.
No, you're not competitive.
Chris, it's the end of the week. It's the end of the week, so I have nothing for breakfast. So I have all these health food things that Hal left in my refrigerator. That's what I'm eating.
Twigs and
he's
berries.
He's like a gerbil. He eats, I don't even know what.
You mean like he eats healthy?
I don't know. There's all these little, I would find little, seeds and nuts by my computer.
Well, he's vegan, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, so I have some sort of health, the whole food soup here, and green things, and things that I don't recognize. As he said, I have the palate of a 10-year-old redneck boy.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Did we get pizza again?
Well, that's just because of the Mountain Dew cases you have. But Costco has them on sale. I can fault you for it.
Oh, boy. That's why I had to start B90X, Chris. I realized that probably hitting the New York pizza a little hard.
Yeah, you are.
A few pairs of jeans, a little bit tight.
And the Skype camera adds 20 pounds.
Shut up.
Oh, what? Stop it, you.
All right, we got a correction from one of, because Mama has the smartest listeners in the world.
Oh, yes. And the sexiest, I might add.
Yes.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller Show has no knowledge of what John Fugelsang may or may not have done to any of our listeners.
Oh.
All right. So the Toyota, the guy from Toyota whose name is spelled differently.
It's spelled with a Toyota.
The D.
T-O-Y-O-D-A. Okay.
That's a chip-up name.
They changed the name to Toyota because Toyota takes exactly 8 brushstrokes to write in Japanese, whereas Toyota requires 10 brushstrokes. 8 is a fortuitous number in Japanese culture.
Oh, so because he said, my name is on every car, and see, if I were him to get out of it, I would have said, oh, that's not me, it's a different, that's a custom.
Right.
Spelled like that.
And 8 is also lucky in Chinese. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So well, not in this case.
Well.
Yes.
And the other way sounds like you're addressing Yoda, so.
All right. Okay, so the president kicking off the big healthcare summit yesterday.
Part of the goal here, I think, is to figure out what are the areas that we do agree on.
You already talked too many words. You didn't. You were not sitting in the right place.
The Republicans had more minutes. They talked more minutes than Democrats did. CNN actually clocked it. So the Republicans got to talk more minutes than the Democrats.
What a bunch of asshats.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's a liberal clock. Liberal clock.
Yeah, Senate Republican leader Mitch McChinless noted sternly that Democrats had spoken for 52 minutes and Republicans only 24 in the first portion of the summit. What? What is he sitting there with an egg timer? No wonder he's not really making any effort to solve the problems. You know what I mean?
Solving Chris, the problem is not his job.
They went right to reconciliation. The president's like, okay, let's try and just figure out the issues first before we jump to how are we going to pass this or not. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? That's the first point he raises. Mr. President, you spoke for 52 minutes, the Republican. Obama replied, you're right. There was an imbalance in the opening statement because I'm the president. I called the meeting. Can you imagine if you're at a company and the CEO is speaking at a board meeting? You're like, you already talked too much. Oh, you're the boss? I'm sorry.
Mm.
I'm what?
You're fired.
Okay. The president talking about that very issue.
This issue of reconciliation has been brought up. Again, I think the American people aren't always all that interested in procedures inside the Senate. I do think that they want a vote on how we're going to move this forward. And, I think most Americans think that a majority vote makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we will talk about how the Republicans completely misconstrued, on purpose even, the what the nuclear option is. This is not the nuclear option.
No, it's not.
No, but using a filibuster sort of is.
All right. Representative Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota coming up. We'll get his take on the health care summit. He also wants to talk about these new credit card rules.
Yes.
Important. Stay tuned for that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My gosh, that is really awful. Where did she learn to break a man's spirit like that?
Okay, Chris, I have a. It's time for the wildly popular feature, Steph's Cooking Tips.
Oh, no.
Okay, I discovered how I am going to make someone a crappy little woman someday. I just discovered the hard way how long is too long to cook oatmeal in an office microwave.
Didn't
and
know.
The answer is 3 minutes. 3 minutes is too long.
No, you're supposed to do it for like 90 seconds, Steph.
Well, it says on the thing. My ex-husband, Hal Sparks, that's all he left is oats and things in the house. So I've never made oatmeal here, but it's 3 minutes. It says on the thing 2.5 to 3 minutes. But, it's...
It says no.
She also burned cereal this morning. I don't know how, but she pulled it off. Cornflakes
yeah.
Burnt.
There's a little bit of a mess in the microwave. Chris, I was doing some housekeeping during the commercial break there.
Yeah, and you're not going to send me or Rebecca to clean it
we
up.
We have an evil idea. Sean, the guy that works here with me, remember the... I've had a little bit of a... Have you ever had an office sort of... Chris, how would you... It's been a turf battle, sort of, isn't it? Have you ever had one of these people that leave... I think I will send the note to passiveaggressivenotes.com. There's someone else that uses this studio.
Yes, there is.
That had to be told, this is a shared space, you know, like in kindergarten. You don't really own this space. Because there was a giant mimeograph passive-aggressive note that said, please do not leave things here, because I left one napkin
right.
in the studio.
Mm. Because you like
okay.
to, you know.
So then yeah. what happened is they gave me a filing cabinet. This is the update.
Okay.
So that I can, this is my space.
Luxury.
Is also to, you know, send a little shot across the bow to the other person
individual.
I won't name that uses the studio anyway. So so they put a filing cabinet in here this morning, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
The person put their clipboard on my filing
no!
cabinet. I am mimeographing a note and said, do not leave things on my filing cabinet.
All caps and underlined, every other
yes.
word. Yes.
Yes. And so here is Sean's evil idea is the microwave incident with the oatmeal. I'm just going to leave a note there saying that the person that uses the studio later apologizes for that. And so sorry that they caused that. I'm just gonna put the oatmeal off incident off on them.
That person has now asked Stephanie to burn sage whenever she leaves the studio, which I think is a tad excessive.
You
I mean,
have
once
to...
a week you can burn sage when you leave.
You have to tell me who this is, Stephanie.
I don't think that I should say. It's another fine product of this company that I, you know.
And it's a fine person.
Yes.
I know said
yes,
person.
Yes, I'm just going to put a note saying that they apologize for the microwave incident with the oatmeal and it won't happen again.
And you're going to say my name.
Okay. We are awaiting Congressman Keith Ellison.
He is not on the line yet.
All right. Johnny in Kansas City on the boner. Hello. Hello, John.
Good morning, Goddess. How are you? Oh, sorry,
good.
Not supposed to ask that. Two
yes,
quick things. Number one, it's fantastic to have a smart, beautiful, articulate, liberal chick on a radio.
Oh,
number
well,
two,
Randy Rhodes thanks you.
Nah, I'm talking to you, babe.
Oh.
Hey, number two, the boner during the healthcare summit yesterday, he kept tapping on and flipping open all the books with all the pages of the healthcare bill.
Yeah.
Did anybody happen to notice that every time you looked at that page, there was nothing on it?
That's
you
because
might
we need
Chris
to
check that out. And
John, that's because we need to start with a clean page. We need to start with a clean sheet of paper, Mr. President. Go.
Oh, so, yeah. So all those books of empty pages, that's the Republican
yeah.
bill?
By the way, could he have looked any pissier?
No. But his
all right.
tan was starting to run a little bit there. Have a
yeah,
great
thank
day.
You. Thank you, Johnny. Yeah, I thought the tan might run after a while.
I was worried about the necks of his white shirts.
Yes.
You know, that's why they complained
Ring
about
around
that,
the collar.
You know, they had complained about the size of the room, and it's going to get hot in here. It's going to get too hot.
Uh-huh.
It's too small, and it's going to get hot. And you said too many words, and there's too many words in the bill.
But John Boehner did back up his blank documents in carbonite.
Thank you.
Type Stephanie in the referral box.
Please. As long as he hits Stephanie in the referral box to check out, what do I care? Hal in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Hal.
Good morning. I'd just like to set the record straight on the healthcare summit yesterday. Yes, the Democrats did read citizens' accounts of healthcare problems, but I think the Republicans showed tremendous restraint because of they get letters and emails too. You know, your emails from health insurance lobbyists who may not have a productive job tomorrow, or the tweets from conservative radio and TV hosts whose anti-healthcare reform message is being stifled because they're only heard 22/7 instead of 24/7.
Yeah.
The letters from anxious health insurance executives and board members, too, where they're worrying whether there's a suitable home for them in the next gated community.
Yeah. So, and don't you love, by the way, we'll get to that in right-wing world hell, but the right-wing referred to the emotion, you know, the stories as emotional blackmail.
Yes. Mm.
Stories of real people with real health care disasters, which, you know, all of us know one. That was just emotional blackmail.
Yeah, it was a despicable event. And, you know, I think everybody knew what was coming, and they satisfied, you know, they came
the Republic- through. Yeah, the Republicans did not disappoint us. You're right. Thank you, Hal. Yeah, it's, you know, as if it was like E.T., and then he died. No, he didn't! No. These are real stories of real people. This is what, you know, we've been saying this for a year, Chris, right? It's like, this is what you need to do. We should be doing all along. Let's put a human face on this.
Yeah, well, AIG's down 8 points. Where's your sympathy for them? Hmm? AIG's suffering, too. What I liked was finally seeing Obama once again adopt the calling lying douchebags out in public option.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
A joy to behold.
Yes.
And Stephanie, did
yes,
you just
sir?
Give away the ending to E.T.?
I am so sorry.
Oh.
Sigourney Weaver does. Oh, that's Avatar.
Same
I'm sorry.
Same thing to me with Titanic.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, the ship sinks. I'm sorry.
I couldn't believe you did
sorry
that.
About that. Ugh. All right. I think the best thing that came out of yesterday, Obama signaled Democrats prepared to push ahead on a congressional vote. 7.5 hours they went this session. It did reveal narrow areas of agreement on a topic that obviously has vexed Congress for how many decades now? I like when he introduced John Dingell. He's like, he was there when this started.
Well.
A billion years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It started, I like to think it started 98 years ago when Teddy Roosevelt quit the Republican Party and ran as a progressive advocating universal health care for all.
Yeah.
John McCain's idol fought for universal health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's the sad specter of Grampy at the healthcare summit yesterday. All right. We have our very personal favorite, Representative Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good, sir. So what did you think of that healthcare summit yesterday?
Well, here's what I think about it. There's absolutely positively no reason to give the Republicans 6 more weeks to try to get more compliant. They've demonstrated their lack of interest in participating and getting health care for Americans. So I think the president's being too generous to them. And then also, I think that there's no reason.
I thought yesterday, Congressman, I was going to say I was going to agree with you, that I think yesterday was like, you know, a 7-hour version of the last year.
Right.
Of him reaching out, saying, let's work together, and them sticking to their talking points. You know, we got to start over. You got to scrap the bill. This,
yeah,
that.
Scrap the
you know.
Bill. Now, they would just love that, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, they just wish we would. The other thing is that there's absolutely no reason, if they're not going to be on board, why shouldn't we have a public option in this bill?
I asked this question yesterday, Congressman. If we're going to do reconciliation, why not get a public option? I don't get it.
Why shoot low? Let's do it. I mean, they're not on board, mm-hmm. so we don't even need them. And so, you know, so there's that. The other thing is, I think we really do need a national exchange, you know, and this state-by-state exchange the Senate's talking about. I don't like that. And then, you know, I know that there's been some negotiation around the excise tax in the Senate version. But I just don't like the idea of them taxing plans at all, you know. And so if we put the things in the bill to try to lower costs, I mean, you know, I don't like the idea of this tax and taxing people's benefits. So the fact is that I'm glad that, you know, they had the long conversation. I am disappointed that while they had a Blue Dog representative there, they had no representative there from the Progressive Caucus.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, don't you love like single payer is the, you know, is the love that dare not speak its name at healthcare discussions?
Why are they so afraid of single payer? I mean, if single payer is an idea that lacks merit, let's have the debate. And everybody will clearly see that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they don't want to do that. So because it is an idea that is really designed to really fix the problem. So, you know, there's no money in it for certain people, so they don't want to talk about it. So, you know, I thought that was unfortunate that we didn't really have a real conversation. And it seemed like the conversation is going from the middle to the right, not from the left to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not happy about that. But you know what? The fact is, the president's trying to reach out to them. I give him credit for that. I if he'd asked me, I could have told him they're not going to accept your open hand. But, you know, he tried, and that's how
yep.
it is.
Yeah, so, God bless him. Well, Congressman, let's talk, because I know you're short on time, too. Let's talk about the new credit card laws.
Yeah,
tell me about, because I know you've been involved in that.
Well, you know, in terms of the credit card laws, here's the thing. You know, we didn't solve every single problem, but we solved many of them. We banned universal default. We required notice before you changed the terms of that credit card. We put in restrictions on this idea of just changing terms and charging you back interest that on accounts you've already paid for. So we've done a lot of good things like that. There are some other things that need to be done, because the credit card companies have already responded by trying to jack up people's rates. But the fact is, people shouldn't be worried about that, because because we're still going to continue to push change forward. And I've already got a number of bills cooking right here to try to address the new tricks and games and fine print.
Congressman, I mean, it seems to me that this is a discussion that applies also to health insurance, because this is exactly it. You've got to be tough, because they're going to find ways to get around it. You know, when they talk about buying insurance across state lines, you know that companies are going to use it to go to states with the least regulation. So
that's right.
I think you're right. Whether it's credit cards or whether it's insurance companies, you have got to find ways to really – I mean, that's why I'm glad this antitrust exemption at least passed yesterday.
That's right. Well, I'm glad that the House is trying to signal – that we're about doing something, you know, and I'm glad that both Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi at this health care summit yesterday at least asserted the public option. And then the thing is that it's important for progressives to know that we're in a general period of opportunity here. We can, if we keep pushing hard, stay hopeful and optimistic, shift how our economy runs, shift our health care situation, get some real climate legislation. But this is the time for people to not be cynical, but to say, look, we've in a year's time, we've done pretty well, and we need more time to straighten mm-hmm. this mess all the way out. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been saying. I know there's been a lot of progressives who are a little bit down, but I just want folks to know, don't be down. Be active. Be busy.
Well, as you always remind us, we've got the power. And
we
still do. We got the power, Congressman. You know what I'm talking about.
There's a great song like that.
I have heard there's a song like that, as we stall while my producer furiously tries to find the Snap Mamet catalog.
No, that's the wrong tune.
That's the Scott Brown song.
But, you know, I've been saying this, Congressman, we're in the midst of the health care fight. But we've got the power. Right here, tell them you want a public option. We're not done. You know,
well,
that's what they're saying. Democrats are waiting to gauge the reaction to this, you know, health care summit. You know, the reaction is we want health care reform.
That's the tune. Hey, Steph, let me tell you this. And you know this already, but let me tell the folks this. You know, we got 24 senators on a letter saying that they want Harry Reid to put public option up. There was another letter a few months back, and we had up to 35. There's up to 35 senators who have signed one letter or another saying they want a public option. We got because of the Pingree-Pulos letter, we got well over 100
well,
or some.
Congressman, and let's, you know, and talk about the Republicans kept mentioning polling yesterday. How many polls have showed, you know, 70% of the American people want a public option? You know, and it's interesting. I know I agree. You know, you and I have talked about this over the last year. Have they succeeded in muddying the waters enough that the numbers for this bill have gone down? Yes. But as the president pointed out yesterday, when you poll each element that's in the bill, it polls really well. The problem is a lot of people have bought the Republicans' lies about the bill. I mean, yesterday the president, I thought, was good about saying, that's in there.
The thing is that, you know, that's why, you know, first of all, you know, I think the president deserves a lot of credit for moving the debate this far. But I will say that's why I wish we wouldn't give him more time. You know, what do we need more time for? I mean, they've said they're not helping. And so we're going to have to carry this boat. Let me tell you, only 22 Republicans voted for Medicare. Only 22.
Yep. Yep.
They almost all were against it, and now they act like it was their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, unmitigated gall is their strong suit, you know.
Yep.
And so let's just give you, you know, it reminds
Absolutely.
Me of how they're all, none of them voted for the stimulus, but over 91 of them went around and kind of claimed credit for projects for, funded by the stimulus project.
Yep. Oh, it's, the hypocrisy is endless. Well, I always know one thing at the end of our conversations, and that is I'm glad you've got the power. I'm glad you've got the power.
We're scared of Glenn Beck, but he's scared of you.
All right. Congressman Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota. Thank you, sir. There he goes. We've got the power.
Yes, we do.
I had the power. I left it in my locker, but I'll get it to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang live with us all 3 hours in our New York bureau.
Live!
Live!
It's alive! New York City is so white it looks like the cast of Gossip Girl going to a Tea Party convention. It's snowy.
Oh, the dogs love it. They go insane. It's like crack for dogs. You know that was what it means later, Chris. As I've mentioned, Central Park becomes it's anarchy later when it snows. All the rules that people are like, everyone takes the dog off the leash. They're like, they can't arrest all of us. Attica, Attica.
That sounds like a
there's
well-run.
There's no rules when it snows in New York.
Sounds like a well-run place.
Come see the rich white people riot, New York City.
All right. Oh, this is nice of Grampy. I'm reading the breaking news this morning. Grampy McSame, John McCain says Republicans are willing to negotiate changes in the health care system, but only on a step-by-step basis. Hey, Grampy, once again, you lost. You lost the election.
Poor John.
This isn't a hostage crisis.
Oh, it's just so it's so sad.
Listen, here's how we're going to do it.
Everyone hates McCain. His home state hates him. His wife hates him. His party hates him. The right-wing media hate him. And the liberals, where was the last hope? He blew it with us.
Yeah. All right, the president talking at the healthcare summit yesterday.
In a month's time or a few weeks' time or 6 weeks' time, we could actually resolve something. And if we can't, then I think we've got to go ahead and make some decisions, and then that's what elections are for.
Hello.
Yeah, well.
Ooh, wait till Bobby Jindal comes after him. You're in trouble with the BJ.
All right, Bobby Jindal. All right, Michael in New York on the Republicans. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph, what's up, girl?
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I got to say, President Obama is really playing chess and really came out a big winner on this one. I mean, the thing is that for all the right-wingers and all the pessimists saying, oh, Republicans don't engage in this store tax, stuff like that. Well, guess what? They're on tape, they were on television, live, and in living color. Now, if I had to turn around and make a scorecard, as I said, President Obama and Democrats, the big winners, and for the Republicans, well, let me put on my Arcade King voice impression here, and they are tickum, tickum, tickum,
over. All right. Thank you, Michael.
That's one of the best policy discourses I've heard all year. He nailed it.
He had a little skit ready. Alex in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Alex.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Oh, I just want to tell you that my ride in the morning wouldn't be even tolerable without you guys. So thank you so much.
Aww.
I know nobody ever really talks about single payer anymore, but everybody talks about, you know, reducing the actual health care costs. And I think to myself, wouldn't that actually do it? You're not dealing with the different medical billing policies of a, you know, bunch of different companies. And if they really want doctors to be focused on that, maybe reducing, you know, even standardizing billing might just be something that could be used, even if they don't want to do single payer.
Yeah, well, it's like Congressman Ellison was just saying, Alex. I mean, it is amazing how a lot of the issues they discussed, John, the thing that would solve it best is probably single payer. But it's like you can't even mention it.
Well, if George Bush was leading this fight, if the Republicans were leading this fight, they would have gone for single payer first and made the public option their compromise.
Yep.
Instead, we're compromising on a compromise by fighting for public option.
Oh, and by the way,
that.
And they might have to compromise further, they've decided. Have you heard that, Chris? The incredible shrinking bill might shrink further.
Great.
If they can.
Well, it's cold outside. That happens.
All right. Why are you playing music already? All right.
Sorry.
Dean's
He's got a rock.
He gets a little antsy on Fridays. Dee in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dee.
Hi. I was listening to Laura Ingram for just a second this morning.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's enough, isn't it?
It was horrible.
I'm Laura Ingram. Oh, okay, that's good. That's enough.
And her comment on the healthcare summit was that it was a 7.5-hour snooze fest in which the Democrats offered dueling sob stories, which is now a full metal Olympic sport.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's how the Republicans those feel about real
stories.
People and their real suffering. Yeah.
Yes, so much for a kinder, gentler nation.
Yeah, they called it emotional blackmail, the story of real Americans, suffering.
Stop appealing to Americans' sense of decency and morality.
Exactly. All right, Dee, exactly. Like you always say, John, stop trying to use religion the way Jesus said it should be. What? Help the poor and sick.
Look,
what?
I follow Jesus. I worship Jesus, but I'm not going to follow him. He was a socialist.
58
single
minutes.
Prayer insurance.
58 minutes after the hour. Economist Christian Weller next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, we are knee deep in Fridays with Buglesang. John Buglesang here with us all 3 hours.
You're soaking in it.
In the New York studio. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Check out the calendar section. Mama going to Chicago to warm up tomorrow to speak to the DuPage County Democrats.
Sorry, I can't bring you.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Hello. Good morning, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
I actually changed the spelling of my name from Wart because they're requiring fewer brush strokes.
Fewer brush strokes, yeah. Yes.
Good. And it's lucky.
Yeah, okay. Yes. If I were Chinese or Japanese.
All right. And Mama's going to do Joy Behar on Monday nights.
I bet. What?
I'm doing the Joy Behar show on CNN Headline News Monday night. Tune in for that. That's all Mama's doings. All right, you can email us all there. Executive, I'm not sure who that's turning on, but.
well, actually, you're right.
Oh, it's the internet. There's someone.
All right, you can also email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. In the meantime, let's check in with our economist extraordinaire, Christian Weller, at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you very much for the extra title.
Thank you. Well, you know, you've been upgraded from fancy economist guy.
I knew that was coming eventually.
Yes. Now, Christian, first of all, let's get your take on the healthcare summit yesterday and, you know, where we're going to go on healthcare.
I think that's going to be very hard to predict. It's to some degree a political issue at this point. The healthcare summit didn't change anybody's mind. I don't think the White House was hoping for or did get any Republicans to say, like, well, now I'm on board after I listened for this for 7.5 hours and opposed it for a year.
I loved how they were still asking for a clean sheet of paper after 7.5 hours. Okay, maybe you haven't been listening.
Yeah.
No, or not starting with a clean sheet of paper.
It was an interesting exercise. I think it clearly showed the differences. I think Republicans have two struggles to deal with. The first one is that they really are seen as unwilling to challenge insurance companies. And that was a challenge that was apparent in the various interviews that Republicans gave before the summit. Judd Gregg in particular on the Lehrer Hour, News Hour and other shows came off as basically saying, like, we are fending for the poor, misunderstood insurance companies, and I don't think anybody's really buying that as a particular. The other part is, and it was clear during yesterday's debate that a number of times Republicans said, like, the biggest issue for us is reduced health care inflation, which means that covering the uninsured is not something that Republicans sounded particularly concerned about. And that, I think, is something that they really have to struggle with. But I think the Republican leadership has made the calculation that not challenging insurance companies and not talking about covering the uninsured is a cost that they're willing to absorb if they can portray the Democrats as big government types.
But what do you make of
the Democrats look at this from the other side and say, like, well, you know what, we're fending for the American family, we're fending for the uninsured, and that's a benefit that's offset by the cost associated with extending government programs, and we're willing to do this. Now, are there enough Democrats, and that's ultimately the question, are there enough Democrats on the House side, House of Representatives, who are willing to go along with the logic that fending for the uninsured is clearly offsetting, in terms of electoral politics benefits, the extending government cost that comes with it?
Right. Well, what do you? I want to get your take on the Lamar Alexander and the president's exchange, where he said insurance premiums are going to go up, and the president's like, "No, I'm almost certain I'm right about that." I mean, where is he getting that from?
The premiums. Well, it's interesting. They're both actually right. The premiums would go up, but as the president pointed out, and as many have pointed out, the premiums go up because people are going to buy more insurance. That's what the CBO projects. It's not that the premiums go up because for the same services. The assumption is that because there's more subsidies, because there is the prevention that the insurance companies can no longer exclude people with pre-existing conditions, now people will actually buy insurance that they want it. The people will pay more, but they also will get a lot more. The other part is also what this discussion completely misunderstands is it never really compares the trajectory of insurance under reform efforts versus what people would pay in insurance premiums without the reform efforts. And those premiums would be generally larger for the same level of services.
Christian, let me get your take on Ben Bernanke. Yesterday he testified before the Congressional Committee. He told the House Financial Services Committee, there are some positive signs in the economy, but the jobs picture remains grim. He said the job market remains quite weak with the unemployment rate near 10% and job openings scarce. He did say, though, he expects the unemployment rate to decline slowly to 6.5 to 7.5% by the end of 2012. What's your take on that?
I think Ben Bernanke is generally right. I think he is. I mean, you got to understand when Ben Bernanke talks to Congress, he is basically talking to the country, and a lot of people would like to see Ben Bernanke raise interest rates at this point, especially in the financial market side. There is some fear that possibly low interest rates could stoke another bubble. I think that's a misguided fear to some degree.
Well, his point was the fragile state of the economy calls for the Fed to maintain interest rates at exceptionally low levels for an extended period. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that the Fed is moving gradually to take some of the extraordinary measures to help the economy off the table. So they're beginning to raise interest rates, not the key interest rate, but some of the other things are coming off the table because we're no longer in this kind of panic situation that we were in last year. We're moving into a more manageable situation. But what Ben Bernanke is saying is, like, at this point, our biggest challenge really to get the economy back on track are jobs and the labor market. And that means that people's real incomes do take a priority for the Fed and for all public policy over keeping bondholders happy.
Yep, absolutely. Christian, always great to check in with you on where the economy is going. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes. Fancy economist guy from the Center for American Progress. Jim Ward, what did you think of the big healthcare summit?
Well, I didn't see all of it, but I tuned in every once in a while.
How dare you?
I had things to do. I had jobs and auditions and whatnot.
He was watching curling.
Well, yes. I DVR'd all the curling events.
You're watching ice sweeping.
Yeah, for sure.
Could anything be more boring? I'm sorry. I don't get
curling.
You know
curling. What, though? Those Norwegian curlers' pants make it all exciting.
You betcha.
Absolutely.
You betcha.
And they won.
And they're made of lutefisk. They're
made of lutefisk. You may not know that. They're made entirely of lutefisk. And lefse. All right. So, Jim, what'd you think, though? I mean, I
don't know. I mean, it was satisfying to watch some of these guys get spanked periodically by Henry Waxman and others. But The whole thing is just kind of a miasma.
But it was theater for a purpose, you know? I mean, unlike the new Spider-Man Broadway show, it's theater for a purpose. I think that this was all done because the Democrats have made up their mind, you know, to grow a pair and ram this thing through without Republican support if necessary. And this, to me, seemed like the staging ground where they more or less gave to the public their rationales for why they have to do it.
Right, right. Well, hopefully that's going to be perceived that way. Instead, this is boring. I don't care.
I would like to see our government be this way forever. This is like as close to British Parliament as we'll get. Can you imagine Bush doing this?
I love their ideas by the end of 7.5 hours, Jim, still the same. Boner's like, we gotta scrap it. We need a clean sheet of paper.
Clearly, the American people don't support it.
I think that this needs to be standard, these kinds of presidents facing off with the opposing parties in front of cameras, because, I mean, we don't have this in our country, and this is better than transparency. This is like seeing how it really, really works and getting to know who's a moron, who's a shill, who actually has a soul, who knows what they're talking about. I was thinking yesterday, Reagan and Bush couldn't have done this. Jimmy Carter couldn't. LBJ would have been great. Nixon would have been great in this. Clinton would have been great. I'd like to see every president be forced to stand before the American people and debate Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Boner called the health care plan a dangerous experiment.
Oh, he would do something about that.
That will bankrupt the country with the world's best health care system.
I've been a dangerous experiment in Channing my entire life.
It's the best health care system. If you can afford it.
Yes, that would keep.
That's the thing you tell your Republican friends. No one's criticizing the quality of our medicine or our doctors. They're criticizing the lack of access.
And no one's talking about a government takeover of the doctors or the hospitals. It's just getting people.
As the president said, we are not going to have another year-long debate on this. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's all you brought to the table is we got to start over. I mean, I thought he was good, Jim, didn't you, about going, that's in there, that's in there, that's in there.
It was like a Prego commercial. Yeah.
It's in there. It's in there. These vegetables are huge.
But let's remember Clinton. This is exactly what happened. The more Republican policies and the farther Bill Clinton went to the right, the more the right hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And the more many on the left loved him because he got more popular, which shows us essentially in politics, it's not really about ideology. It's about who's got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Obama schooled these guys yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see Boner got close? He didn't slam the bill down? Because he must have thought better of it. But he said, the American people want us to scrap this bill. He reached over and touched it. But
what happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
Someone probably warned him ahead of time. Don't throw
do that,
things. Man. You're going to look like a...
No. You look like a bigger idiot.
Tot having really a tantrum are. Like you normally. Don't do that.
You'll just give the Stephanie Miller Show a cat toy to play with. Don't do that. Forever.
Be president. Yesterday.
It may turn out, on the other hand, there's just too big of a gulf. And then we'll have to figure out how we proceed from there. I think most Americans think that a majority vote makes sense.
And did you see the carrot top of the proceedings, Jim? Eric Cantor brought his props. He brought the...
I missed that.
That'd be funny if he had an arrow through his head, too. And, Mr. President, if I had this arrow through my head and I went to the emergency room...
I wouldn't get treatment in your socialized communistical system.
I loved when the president called him out on that. He's like, you brought that's a bill in front of you, isn't it? Uh-huh, okay, that's
nice.
That's a prop. I get it. Funny.
She brought G.I. Joes and Barbie dolls.
Good. Are you going to put some tarp down and throw some watermelons around?
Yeah.
Gallagher? Okay.
Oh, no. Then we'll have Eric Cantor, too. And Eric Cantor's brother will go on the road playing Eric Cantor.
Oh.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with more of our thoughts and yours on the big healthcare summit yesterday. In the meantime, you know, I've said it over and over again. Why won't you go to carbonite.com right now? Do it! For God's sakes, don't wait until you have a power outage, until you lose your computer, until it gets stolen.
Testify.
Thank you.
I'm backing up my carbonite and carbonite.
I had a moment of panic yesterday.
Did you?
Here's something I learned, because you know me with the technical stuff.
Not so much.
So when someone sends you a big document on your BlackBerry, it looks like gibberish, and so I deleted it, because I thought it was just nothing.
Oh, no.
I deleted a really important... legal document I really needed to see. Yes.
Great.
And then I was like, oh, thank God I have carbonite. Okay, because that's the thing. Some of that stuff, you can't get it back if you lose it. There's things on my computer. There's pictures. There's music. There's photos. There's files that, you remember, you lost my one-woman show, Chris, when you lost my laptop.
Yes, in 1997.
That's a loss to the theater community will never survive. That was like when the guy that did Chorus Line died.
All those up-to-date jokes are lost to the ether.
Yeah, lost to the ether.
The Gower champion material is coming out.
Carbonite Online Backup, I highly recommend it. It automatically backs up your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. And check this out, just $55 for the entire year. That's less than $5 a month. Why
what?
Not do it? You heard me, John Fugel, saying.
Can't be. Witchcraft. Can't be.
Go to Carbonite.com.
Darth Vader backed up Han Solo in Carbonite, and he turned out fine.
Mm-hmm. Get my special offer right now. Use the offer code Stephanie. You get a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com now. It's serious business. Don't let these comedy boys distract you.
Oh, let us a little bit.
Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour, right back. Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, New Kids, you lost me. You crossed my line.
It is Friday. Stephanie Miller. With
the New Kids in the Block are all on blood pressure medication now.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. If you missed the healthcare summit, here is the Republicans there for pretty much just a string of talking points, and here they are now.
This is a car that can't be recalled and fixed, and that we ought to start over.
A lot of the people that I talk to want us to start over.
They would like for us to start over.
We're talking about, as Leader Boehner said, and Senator McConnell said, let's start over.
So if we can do that, start over.
It's time to start over.
But we'd like to start over.
What we simply want to do is start over, work on a clean sheet of paper.
Starting from a clean sheet of paper.
Let's start with a clean sheet of paper.
Let's start with a clean sheet of paper.
Take the Etch-A-Sketch, go like this, let's start over.
Let's scrap the bill. The American people want us to scrap this bill.
Start over.
We believe a better approach is to go step by step.
It means going step by step together.
They want us to take a step back and go step by step,
move through these issues step by step.
That's why we continue to say go step by step.
Let's take a step by step approach.
What American families want is a common step, common sense step by step, step approach.
Common step by step, step by step.
Oops, I screwed up the talking point with the last one.
We got to step over, start stepping, step.
I'm all confused. We're Glenn Beck in the chalkboard.
You moron, why I oughta? You screwed up the talking points. It's a different talking point, the step by step and the start over.
They really think people wouldn't notice?
I know. Hilarious. Or that someone wouldn't do a mashup like that? I think we stole that from MSNBC. But,
Their base will not notice.
Shano sent it, yeah. Yeah. Isn't there some song? There seems like there's a romantic song about starting over, isn't there, that we could play for the Republicans?
Yes, Mr. Lennon actually had a very lovely one.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we take out a loan?
Yeah.
Give it all away to AIG.
The president yesterday at the healthcare summit.
This became a very ideological battle. It became a very partisan battle. I hope that this isn't political theater, where we're just playing to the cameras and criticizing each other.
Except that I was, I think Christian Weller just said, didn't he, that I don't think anybody was surprised. I was surprised the Republicans are bigger obstructionist asshats than even I thought.
Oh, they're trying
it did change some minds.
They're trying to be obstructionist by saying, let's scrap our previous obstructionist measures and start over again.
Exactly.
So we can obstruct some more.
Let's obstruct our own obstructions. It's like Rush Limbaugh's colon.
The other thing is they kept citing these polls over and over again. The USA Gallup poll shows Americans 49-42% lean against Democrats using reconciliation. Slightly more than half oppose the idea of a Senate blah, 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 whatever. Congressional aide said top Democrats will take a few days to gauge the summit's impact on the public and perhaps more importantly on moderate House members. I mean, seriously, after all this, they better not puss out. It's like, did they not like the summit?
They didn't like it? Okay, let's start over.
It's like watching the Afghani army. Are you guys going to do anything? Do you guys know how to do anything?
But, you know, as the president pointed out, I thought very rightly yesterday, if you poll each element of this plan, it polls
right.
very well.
Yeah.
What the Republicans have done well at is confusing people right. and lying and
propaganda.
Muddying the waters.
Yeah, but in fairness, what Obama doesn't
mention
is... I mean,
when you describe the plan, what's in there, the American people go, oh,
yeah.
yes.
I like
and
that.
And then you go, do you like the president's plan?
Oh, no.
No, no. Boehner says Obamacare's bad.
Well, nothing new about that, but... The same polls also show if you vote for, would you vote, support expanding Medicare to cover everyone? People really like that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
So
the
why
stuff
didn't we
that,
do that
polls
a year ago?
The best is the way more liberal versions of things
exactly.
than are even out there.
Exactly. That's why if they had fought for single payer mm-hmm. first, they could have compromised on a public option.
So now they're saying if this effort fails, Democrats may try a scaled-back plan to ensure 15 million rather than 30, another incredible shrinking bill that Minikis can be at the signing ceremony for, like the incredible shrinking jobs bill, and the president signs it with a little tiny pen.
I think we need to compromise more. If we...
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a scrappy little misfit, just like me.
I am a scrappy little misfit. That describes me perfectly.
Yeah.
Our little island of misfit toys here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Joined by John Fugelsang, as usual, Fridays with Fugelsang.
Hello.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Carl in Chicago, where Mama's going tomorrow. Hello, Carl.
Steph, hey, how are you? Happy Friday. Yippee-ki.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. Go ahead.
Do we have a smart president or what?
Do we have a what, honey?
Smart president.
Yes, we do.
This guy knew all of this stuff. He didn't have to bring his minions in to speak for him. He
Gee, without a teleprompter for 7.5 hours. Imagine that.
Is that amazing? Mm. And I loved it when he said, let me guess. Is that the health bill that you have piled on your...
Let me guess, Gallagher. Is that the health... Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it's big.
And you know, you don't have to bring props like that. I wonder what they would have said if he would have brought in the Constitution of the United States with all the amendments and had it next to him on the desk.
Yeah, and put it on a whoopee cushion. Just,
and two flags on either side of him.
They wouldn't have recognized it.
And he would say... You know, I am the President of the United States, and I did swear to defend, to uphold and defend the Constitution. Would they have called that a prop, you think?
Yeah.
Maybe. But
exactly.
let me give you this one.
Go ahead.
It was like he was trying to teach, continually teach a bunch of chimpanzees that had been school in sign language, and they brought them in to continue their education, and all of a sudden they started reverting to their old habits of throwing their feces again.
Mm-hmm.
That was the dismissive look that he was giving them.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Yeah, he did have to point out a couple of times that he is the president.
Yeah. Yes, he did. And,
yes, to Grampy McSame. Yeah.
Okay. He gave him enough rope.
Over.
You know, don't.
Yeah, I get to talk first because, yeah, I'm the president. Okay.
He did it right, though. It's not so much that he's so wise, it's that they're so dumb. And
yeah.
You got to show that off. Don't F up these F ups when they're effing up this effing much.
We got to skip to the Grampy McSame. Is it possible he can get more bitter and more cranky and bring less to the party?
Oh, it's so sad. It's
not Why
pretty.
In the world, then, would we carve out 800,000 people in Florida that would not have their Medicare Advantage cut?
I think you make a legitimate point.
Well, maybe...
I think you do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
I got an answer for that.
Get off my lawn.
It's almost like, you're right, Grandpa, I was on your lawn, and I'm sorry. All right, and then here's the next one where the president had to remind him who's who and what's what.
They want us to go back to the beginning.
Let me just make this point, John, because we're not campaigning anymore. The election's over.
I'm reminded of that every day.
Oh, it's so sad.
Then the president tried to move it back to policy. It just, you know, we can spend the remainder of our time with our respective talking points going back and forth, but we're supposed to be talking about insurance. I mean, what's the point of bringing it up? It was supposed to be on TV. It's okay. Well, it is now, Grampy. So, you know, which, by the way, Jim, did you see that? Michael Steele tried to say, well, we should have done this a year ago. And what's his name?
Chuck Todd.
Yeah, pointed out, yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they
and it was televised.
He mocked the summit, saying it's something this dog and pony show should have happened a year ago. Chuck Todd said the White House did host a televised bipartisan health care forum almost exactly a year ago on March 5th, 2009. Does that one count, asked Todd? Well, apparently it didn't, said Steele, because we still don't have health care. It's because your Republicans have been obstructing it. What do you mean? It's like he goes, well, we don't have, well, I guess it didn't count because we don't have health care. We don't have the reform everybody's been talking about. I mean, what happened here?
It's so amazing. All these Democrats that wanted to put their head in the oven when Scott Brown won a couple weeks ago, and now we see how quickly it turns. When Ron Paul comes in first with 33% of the vote at CPAC, you know there's no one driving their bus.
Right.
These guys, when
they're
McCain
disarray.
Got the nomination, when McCain got the nomination, we knew it. The Republican right-wing media hates McCain. But, there's no leader.
But they're still running.
Because Ron Paul's right about some things, but he's also driving the crazy bus.
Oh, yeah.
On some
things. I agree with that.
Right about a lot of things, but he's got some crazy friends. Yeah. And he's got some crazy friends with crazy websites, and that'll be coming out.
Morris in Atlanta on the healthcare summit. Hey, Morris.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you know what? Obama proved he was a liberal last night, that's for sure.
How's that?
And I tell you what, because he proved that he wasn't afraid of new ideas, and he proved that he can accept new ideas without restriction. That's the real meaning of being a liberal. You come from the other side, and there's only a couple of points that they continue to harp down the American people's throats, and that is tax cuts. Will this health care bill give us tax cuts? Can corporate America continue to be greedy? And last but not least, okay, can we continue attacking countries without provocation? That's their credo. Listen, Obama proved that he's not afraid of new ideas, and I wish these guys, the Democrats on the other side, would continue to take his lead. But over 7.5 hours, all I heard the Democrats say was, oh, this what you guys said, apologizing to the Republicans. You don't need to apologize to the people. You guys are the majority.
Yep. I hear you, Morris. Thanks for calling. I really thought that the president showed leadership. You were saying that, too, that you didn't think he... You know, it was like the Jets and the Sharks. And he was like,
absolutely.
Hey, Jets, where are the rest of the Jets?
I know. It's like,
where are the guys snapping their fingers behind? Hello?
I know. Diesel was the one who did the fighting for the Jets. I mean, it was like watching the X-Men if Wolverine does all the fighting and the rest of them are sitting around watching, saying, good job. Good, tag us out if you need it.
Good job. You're the one with the claws. You don't really need us.
They sat there like a bunch of Democratic senators watching the president do all the work. It was beautiful.
Terry in Dallas on reconciliation. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Hi.
I got a question. Do you need to use reconciliation if you have the votes?
If you want to avoid a filibuster without having to have a 60-vote majority to squash it, yeah. But everyone's talking about using the reconciliation for single payer, and I don't think even with 51 votes you'd have to have a 60-vote majority just to get a vote on that. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
But I thought it was odd that they would come into this meeting talking about taking it off the table. To me, that indicated that they had no intentions on making this work at all.
Well, Ed, thank you. You're the smartest boy in class. Thank you for calling. That's exactly the point. And the president said that. It's like that would betray that all they care about is politics. That's all they want to talk about is reconciliation. The president's like, okay, hold on. Let's figure out if we can figure out health care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out if we can come together on some ideas before we get down to, you know, but that's the problem. They're only concerned about the politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, Jim, they're lying about. I mean, just like they've lied about everything that is or isn't in this health care bill, they keep calling it the nuclear option, which is...
It's false.
And it's the same thing they used over and over and over again during the Bush administration.
Exactly.
Can I have my high school educational film strip music, please? In 2005, frustrated by Democratic opposition to some of President Bush's far-right judicial nominees, which, by the way, they opposed on principle, not for no reason, like a lot of the nominees of Obama they're opposing... Senate Republicans threatened to change the rules of the Senate in mid-session to prohibit Democrats from using the filibuster to block votes on judicial nominees. Then-Senator Trent Lott, Republican of Mississippi, dubbed the maneuver the nuclear option because it would be so divisive. For months now, conservatives have been trying to label the budget reconciliation process, which has been used 22 times between 1980 and 2008, the nuclear option.
And two says nine.
Naked Emperor News. Oh, they sent that over to the Breitbart. Site of the Democrats, including Obama and Biden, denouncing the 2005 GOP plan to rewrite the Senate rules as a naked power grab, which it was. The video has now been promoted by everybody from Beck to Limbaugh to, you know, you can imagine, right? Drudge, Fox Nation. despite the fact the Democrats weren't talking about reconciliation in these clips, congressional Republicans are falsely claiming on Twitter and, you know, and all these other right-wing sites that they were. Democrats in the video are railing against the nuclear option as defined by Lott, not the new definition that conservatives have decided to bestow upon the phrase. As NPR pointed out, reconciliation, using it to change health care, would be in line with historical norms. In fact, the way in which virtually all of health reform, with very, very limited exceptions, has happened over the last 30 years is the reconciliation process.
Yeah.
That was the other point they were making yesterday. Completely inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Well, it's never been used, not for health care, Mr. President, not for something like this. Never, not, no, it's, yes! For everything to do with health care,
they would have
used
it to turn your Social Security over to Wall Street.
Yep.
If they could have done it. There's nothing funnier than hearing a bunch of guys saying, we want to work together, but we can't have reconciliation.
Yeah.
You know, the joy of language. We can't work together if you want to be reconciled? No.
Stephen in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steve.
I don't think the Republicans knew there was going to be math yesterday.
They did not come prepared.
So it's going to be on the final?
We didn't know we had to know this.
My favorite comment was at the end when the president said, I don't know how you got to $154 billion from $5 billion, but, I think you should check your math.
Yeah.
It's on Glenn Beck's chalkboard.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for the fuzzy math. All right. The president talking about the.
This became a very ideological battle. It became a very partisan battle. I hope that. This isn't political fear, where we're just playing to the cameras and criticizing each other.
Yeah. I wish you could have, like, clips of everything that the Republicans falsely point out. No, you're wrong. Roll the clip. And every time they lie about something, oh,
let's go to the tape.
Damn it.
That's what I said. I wish he could have come in, armed with clips, like we do, or Rachel Maddow does, and just, this is what you said.
This is what you thought
should be in there.
Yeah.
That's in there.
It really was their opening act to just ramming this thing through. That's what it was, pretty much. It was a debutante party for the bloodletting we'll be having soon, and good for them.
Well, I thought it was a terrific conversation, and we'll see whether it made any difference in terms of people's attitudes.
No, I don't think so. Not Republicans, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Jay Rockefeller. Oh, is this the first person to mention insurance? Because that might be some small component of the healthcare problem.
The health insurance industry is the shark that swims just below the water. This is a rapacious industry that does what it wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we really wanted to bring props like Eric Cantor, we would have had it at SeaWorld and, health insurance.
Stephanie,
industry.
Too soon.
What?
Too soon.
The health insurance industry, Mr. Cantor, you see, is like this killer whale. Look a little closer. All right, I'm kidding.
Only elitists use words like rapacious anyway.
45 minutes after the hour.
Elitist!
Back with more Fridays with Fugle saying about the healthcare summit as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Healthcare warrior Congressman Elliot Engel coming up from the great state of New York. Oh, by the way, the breaking news this morning, Governor Patterson. has decided not to run, correct?
Yes, like the Hummer, he will not be running this fall.
That is true, because Hummer is going to be discontinued.
Hummers are going to be discontinued now.
Yeah.
I'm
so upset. If they get rid of Hummers, how are we going to know who's got a small penis?
How are we going to know?
John Fugelsang, you. Hey, speaking of that... What? I thought those various salacious rumors about Governor Patterson that we don't know what they were aren't true.
Well, apparently those salacious rumors have been replaced by some concrete facts.
Oh, dear.
Yes, after his aide was accused of beating a woman, it's come to public notice that Governor Patterson himself contacted this woman spoke with her on the phone after he sent troopers, state troopers, by to persuade her. And the, we don't know what he said to her, but the, he said he called to offer her support. But the very next morning, she missed her hearing, and the charges were dropped.
Oh, boy. Interesting.
So he convinced her that he only did it because he loves her.
What we call a one-way ticket to Palookaville. So, yes. Now, and again, if prostitution was legalized, none of this would have happened.
So I guess Hummer's Muffy totally. Never mind.
Hey! Stop it!
Live! Okay, Senator Lamar Alexander. Hey, Jim, didn't you enjoy the senatorial rules lesson he gave the president in the most condescending voice ever?
It looks good in flannel.
Well, you know, it's a big, complicated country, and I'm perhaps in a classroom.
A bastard.
That sort of thing we can't.
Who called it?
Well, some Republic called it a big, grandiose plan. If only.
It's big and grandiose?
Yeah. Senator Lamar Alexander in the president.
Premiums will go up, and they will also go up because of the government mandates.
It's not factually accurate. Costs for families for the same type of coverage as they're currently receiving would go down 14% to 20%.
I believe, with respect, you're wrong.
Well, then.
Well, look, here's the irony.
Economist explained this to us. No, for the same coverage, your premiums would go down.
And you'll be getting a lot more
for
what you're paying.
Yeah.
But the greatest irony here is that the worst part of the plan is it forces us to buy insurance plans. It's forcing Americans to buy an inferior product. But Republicans voted for one in 2000 and 2004, so what are they upset about? Inferior products are their favorite things.
Mm-hmm. Representative Paul Ryan, he's quite the angry little twit, isn't he?
This bill does not control costs. This bill does not reduce deficits. Instead, this bill adds a new health care entitlement at a time when we have no idea how to pay for the entitlements we already have.
Yeah, we do. Mm. Make rich
if only
people
we
pay
had
taxes.
A budget surplus.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim.
No, yeah, I'm saying we do not pay for them. We make rich people pay their taxes.
And by the way, the CBO says, yes, this bill absolutely does bring down costs. It does reduce the deficit.
Oh, CBO, what do they know?
The public option would have taken $127 billion off the deficit.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would have.
Senator Lamar Alexander with the starting over talking point again.
Start over. We can write a health care bill. It means putting aside, jamming it through.
It means delaying till 2012.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lamar Alley. How did Bob Dole beat him in 96? I don't know.
That white hot electricity that he is, Lamar Alexander.
Bob Dole beat him with a dead hand.
Oh, God.
No!
Jim Louise.
It's a flashback. It's a
you're right.
It's a Stephanie Miller flashback. It's a flashback Friday.
Representative Mike Pence, right wing tool of Indiana.
Our concern is that the administration is going to use this so-called summit simply as a launching point to bring a government takeover of health care back into the Congress and to pass it by a simple majority abusing the legislative process known as reconciliation.
The one that you used how many times? I mean, it's amazing. They keep...
And it's not a government takeover of health care.
Thank you. Not even close. And the president, how many times did he have to explain that yesterday? It's like, stop with the talking points.
Yeah,
it's government takeover and it's abuse of the legislative process.
Every time they throw the word big government, Democrats have to respond with good government.
Yeah, exactly.
And just say, look, we work for the people. Let's actually do what they sent us here to do. I want the Senate to have less homophobes and more HMO-phobes.
The Cheney Bush administration had big government, but it was...
Yeah, bad government.
Not, yeah.
Hurricane Katrina, Exhibit A.
Exactly. Yep. Well, the Department of Homeland Security, they expanded the government. Mm-hmm. Folks, tell your friends, Ronald Reagan increased the size of the federal government by 61,000 jobs.
Yeah, and the tax rates were how much higher? Why do they keep screaming about taxes?
And Reagan raised taxes in 82.
Mm-hmm.
He increased the government by 61,000 jobs to create the Bureau of Veterans Affairs, which we'd all agree is a good government program to take care of those who've served our country.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton cut the federal government by over 200,000 jobs. Don't let them out-meme the memes.
Yeah. Senator Mitch McChinless after the summit.
I was discouraged by the outcome. I think it's pretty clear that the majority, including the president, want to continue with basically the Senate bill.
And my grandpappy could have had him shot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
That's a In the Heat of the Night reference.
Yes, right. Thank you.
He just reminds me of a sort of turtle on crack. He's just very blinky, isn't he? Just sat there blinking at whatever
He does lack the charisma of a Steny Hoyer, yes, but...
he looks like Tippy Turtle. You're right.
He does, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
And who was the other lookalike that a listener pointed out? Oh, Ben Nelson looks exactly like Burger Meister. He really does.
From that old Rankin Bass special. Yes.
All right. So here was one little glimmer of hope. Republicans joined Democrats in the House to approve legislation yesterday that would repeal a longstanding antitrust exemption for health insurance companies, an increasingly rare show of bipartisan cooperation, and on health care, no less. Even
wow.
Even exit stage left.
Oh, God.
The measure was the first installments of Speaker Pelosi's dual-track strategy for passing smaller health care measures ahead of the Democrats' more sweeping bill. If party leaders fail to approve their bigger bill, Pelosi could revive the small-ball approach to make as many of the changes they're seeking in the historic health care package. As I mentioned, Jim, a string of signings at which minikits can be booked to play yes. while the president signs little tiny bills with a little tiny Slaughter, Democrat of New York, said the bipartisan vote showed that despite all their efforts to block common sense reforms, the majority of Republicans agree with Democrats that the health insurance industry needs to be reined in. So a tiny applaud. A tiny little step forward on health insurance. Okay. All right. Exactly. All right. So we have a big hour coming up. For God's sakes, we've got all, Chris, we got all backloaded.
We
got all cattywampus.
Yes, we did.
Now we have healthcare warrior Congressman Elliot Engel from New York coming up. We have Right Wing World. We have Celebrity Stack.
Holy and the funny stuff crap. We saved for this hour, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now the funny stuff. On Fridays with Hugo Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We are in Fridays with Hugo Sang, with John Fugel Sang, Congressman Elliot Engel coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. You know it. I love it. You should use it, too. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. I can't recommend them highly enough. Please use the offer code Stephanie, won't you? At checkout. All right, lots to get to today. Of course, in the big healthcare summit hubbub, we missed talking about the Toyota testimony, but very, very important, the president of Toyota.
We pursued growth over the speed at which we are able to develop our people and our organization, and we should sincerely be mindful of that. I regret that this has resulted in the safety issue described in the recalls we face today, and I am deeply sorry for any accident that Toyota drivers have experienced.
It is Mickey Rooney.
No.
So there were 2 days, of course, of tense, high-profile hearings this week, focused the world on Toyota and on Capitol Hill. No consensus, though, on how to improve car safety regulations. No agreement on how to overhaul federal oversight. And it's not clear if any new legislation will follow the hearings. Somebody that would know, though, Representative Judy Chu of our great state of California on the Newsmaker Hotline with us. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking time for us, because this was a big week, and you know, a lot of people are concerned about what happens now. What was your take on the hearings, first of all?
Well, it was quite a hearing. I've never seen so much frenzy there, but it was a long hearing. It was a thorough hearing, and Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood was there taking hours of questions, but Mr. Toyota himself was there for quite a few hours getting grilled by the Congress members. I do feel that we did make some progress, though.
Well, what happens now is, you know, I was just reading the news story out of there, Congresswoman, and they're saying that, you know, do you think there are going to be new regulations? Is there going to be new legislation? Is, you know, what will be the, you know, the concrete outcome, do you think, of yesterday's hearings?
Well, there were a few things that became clear. One is that there really are not enough resources for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA is what it's called. So the budget request for next year will have to include more employees to make sure that there is a timely investigation to issues like this. Toyota has made specific promises about how it will address safety in the future, and they are going to be moving towards more local control over safety decisions and a proposed accident SWAT team, which will look at these accidents in a more timely manner.
Congresswoman, let's listen to one more of the president of Toyota yesterday at the hearing, excuse me, day before.
My name is on every car. You have my personal commitment that Toyota will work vigorously and unceasingly to restore the trust of our customers.
Were you satisfied with that?
I was tremendously skeptical at the beginning. I felt that Toyota really misled the public. There was an investigation in 2004 about a sudden acceleration, which led to nothing, and then one in 2007 in which they went for a solution that was less costly, a limited vehicle replacement kind of program. And so I was indeed skeptical, and there was also a memo in which Toyota touted its $100 million savings in having a less costly recall. So I was extremely skeptical, but he actually was grilled quite harshly by all the Congress members, and he promised everything that they demanded of him.
Yep. Congresswoman, I want to also get your take, because obviously it was a big deal yesterday, the health care summit. What was your take on what happened yesterday and what happens now?
Well, I think that it was important so that the public could see that Republicans really did not have any solution. And, in fact, they weren't about to move this thing forward, even though so many Americans are suffering. And I think that Democrats have to move forward with some kind of bill.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, to me, was the most hopeful thing that came out of it, is that the president certainly signaled that, you know, look, we've been here 7.5 hours and the last year listening to you and trying to incorporate your suggestions. We're going forward one way or another, right?
We made it definitive, and that was good.
Yep.
What's that?
She made it definitive, and that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I thought is, you know, finally a little clarity and a way forward, I hope. Well, Congresswoman, we appreciate it. It's your first time on, and we appreciate it. We've been hoping to get you on for quite some time. Well, terrific. We will hear from you again, we hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes, Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California. All right.
The irony is Republicans are going to say it's not a bipartisan bill, but it's taken on so many Republican ideas already. It is a bipartisan bill without their votes.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's what I hope was, you know, clear enough to the, what do you call it?
Swing voters.
Yeah, to the American people is that... there's no reason to scrap it. Their ideas are in there.
Right.
You know, the president very calmly had to term to many of them. Well, that's in there.
They just want a political defeat for Obama. They don't care about health care.
Yeah, exactly.
They've
exactly.
got theirs. How do they care?
Exactly. Someone that does care about health care, Jim. Health care warrior, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congresswoman.
You're welcome for the segment.
Good morning.
I'm lousy with Congress people this morning.
Well, that's good. You can't lose as long as it's Democratic Congress.
Exactly.
But there's a lot going on. First of all, we've talked to you and I about health care a lot. What was your take on the summit yesterday?
I was very pleased with the summit. I think this is the major first step in Democrats punching back and counterpunching. You know, we were elected in 2008 to lead this country, and I have just been aghast over the past year. We've been arguing amongst ourselves and dithering and wondering and whatever, and I think it's time we exhibited a little bit of backbone, a little bit of gumption, and we moved on. I think that was the opening salvo of moving on. The president clearly indicated that, you know, he'll give them another month or maybe 6 weeks if they're really serious about doing, you know, working with us. Of course they're not. I mean, let's face it. What happened yesterday was political theater to a large degree, and it was political theater on both sides. But if we take the political theater and we run with it and we do what the people elected us to do, I think we'll be fine. I think if we don't, if we continue to dither, if we continue to cross every T and dot every I, if we're afraid to do reconciliation, you know, the voters are going to throw us out, and they probably should. If we do what we said we're going to do, then we don't deserve to leave this country.
Well, you know, you're right. It was political theater, but as someone from New York, you'll appreciate this analogy. Ours was like Mamma Mia, and theirs was like Xanadu. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, stop.
Ours was better.
I think the president was superb. I think that the Democrats more than held their own, and I think we're going to move forward now. And you know, I've never understood, I think I've said this before, why we need 60 votes to do anything important like this. When, you know, the Bush tax cuts for the rich were done with reconciliation, mm-hmm. COVID was done with reconciliation. Republicans have used reconciliation much more than the Democrats under Bush. And suddenly this becomes sacrosanct. Well, you know what? We ought to use it. We ought to call the Republicans for what they are, obstructionists. They have no intention of going forward with health care reform. They are shills for the insurance company.
Yes.
And we ought to keep saying it.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Shill, baby, shill.
And, you know, I said, Congressman, that I thought they betrayed it right off the top, as the president pointed out, by only wanting to talk about reconciliation. The president's like, excuse me, let's talk about health care. Let's try to figure out if we can come together on these ideas before we start talking about how we're going to, you know, what's going to happen in the House or Senate next. I mean, clearly, they revealed this is all about politics for them. Always has been, right?
Always has been. And I liked after John Boehner gave one of his diatribes that the president kind of looked and said, you know, we can all talk from the talking points we have on both sides, but, you know, that's not really helpful in terms of trying to see if we can find common ground. I thought it was very good in what he did, how he kind of put them down, expose them. It's pathetic. I have to say, you listen to Mitch McConnell afterwards and their press conference and Boehner. It's just pathetic. And if we let them get away with it, shame on us.
Exactly, Congressman. And I thought, frankly, the most pathetic example was John McCain, unfortunately. It was just like, what? He literally was fighting old battles. I mean, you said you put it on C-SPAN. It's like, what? Are you here to run the campaign again, or are you here to try to solve this health care dilemma?
Well,
you
know? They're not. I mean, look, they don't want any insurance reform. They really just don't. They couldn't give a damn about the uninsured. I mean, the attitude is, I've got mine. Who cares about these other people? What I've said time and time again is that people who think they're safe and secure and don't care about other people who are uninsured will find themselves on the wrong side of being insured, because the current system is not sustainable. It's not sustainable financially. There's this increase now in California. There's an increase projected in New York. We're going to see 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 35 premium increases, percentage in premium increases. And it's just not sustainable. And the whole fallacy of their argument of, well, why don't we just leave it alone and fix what needs to be fixed? It's because the system's not sustainable. And if they say one more time about a government to take over health care and we let them get away with that nonsense, then, you know, we're the fools.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I mean, and after what, 7.5 hours and a year, Congressman, they kept saying, we got to scrap it. We got to start with a clean sheet of paper. It's like, no. The president said in the opening remark, we're not doing that. Here's what we're here to do. You know?
Well, scrapping it and starting from scratch really means killing it, and that's their real intent. And it's you know, we ought to call them to it. We ought to get the best possible bill we can. We ought to see how we can cobble 218 votes together in the House and 51 under reconciliation in the Senate and just pass the best bill we can. It may not be everything we'd like. It may not be, you know, everything. I want a public option. Heck, I'm for single payer. But it's not going to be everything we want. But we need to do it.
we, number one, need to do it for the sake of the country because the system's unsustainable and we can't keep going this way.
That's right.
Two, politically, we need to do it for the Democratic Party because we're supposed to stand for something, and if we don't stand for something, we're going to lose, the voters are going to throw us out, and the country will be the worse for it.
Yep. I thought one of my favorite moments that I thought just showed the kind of small ball the Republicans have been playing. Here we have the Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, going, Mr. President, you talked 52 minutes and we only got to talk 24.
Yeah.
And the president had to go, well, yes, the opening segment, we got more because I'm the president.
I called
the meetings.
Right. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole thing because I had hearings and meetings and votes and stuff like that. But every time I kept coming back to my office, I kept turning it on. And I felt pretty good about it. I mean, I thought Obama handled himself really, really well. It's all the reasons why I voted for him. He exhibited, that yesterday.
And absolutely.
I thought he made the Republicans look small and petty, and I thought he acted very presidential, and, he had the resolve. I'm happy the Democrats finally have the resolve, and I hope we sustain it. If we don't, shame on us, but I have a hunch that this time we will, and I think we're going to pass comprehensive health care, and then we're going to move on to the economy and jobs and employment and things that the American people elected us to do, and then let the chips fall where they may. At least we'll have done good for the country, and if we have done good for the country, I think it'll reflect favorably in the elections in November.
Absolutely. Congressman, the only thing I will say is making the Republicans look small and petty, not that hard a job. If only solving health care were that easy. But
you're right. We have to just sit back and watch because they can't help themselves. You know?
I know. Congressman Elliot Engel, thanks for always taking time for us and for fighting
the
good fight for us on health care.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Healthcare warrior. All right. Here in Jersey, here's something I have to look out for, Chris.
What?
Uh-oh. A Florida woman said her love handle saved her life when she was shot and entering an Atlantic City bar.
I saw that.
I did move to New York. However, I am not willing to grow love handles in order to protect, because that's why I'm doing P90X, everybody!
Nice segue.
Thank you. All rise. Queen Segway is here. I was telling you earlier, Chris, seriously, I've been hitting the New York pizza a little hard.
Yeah.
A few pairs of jeans don't exactly fit. So,
really?
Yes,
Not really. I'm in the room with her, folks. She has to run around the shower to get
that's
wet.
That's because
so
I've been doing P90X.
Oh, really?
Chris, like over a week now.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow.
Dave writes, Steph, I just got P90X, too, in large part based on your endorsement because I love you and your show madly.
Hooray!
And I'm excited. I'm about one day behind you. I just got my pull-up bar, and I'm taking my before pics. I wish you and I could be P90X pals because we're both about the same age, but best of luck. We're both old, I think, is his...
Yeah, what, is he like 70?
Shut up.
What?
I just found out a dear family friend of ours just started it, too, and she's a world-class athlete, played 4 years of varsity college soccer at Auburn, and likely will wind up playing in the new pro women's soccer team, and she said the program's kicking her ass, too.
In a good way.
Who is my... Yes!
Yes.
I have a... Can you take your organ out, Chris? I have a P90X confession to make.
Oh, no.
I'm a bit of an athlete. I got a little ahead of myself. I thought, oh... I need more cardio, so I went back to spinning class, and it was the same day I was doing plyometrics, that's it.
Curling.
And I couldn't do my whole P90X workout, but here's what Tony Horton, my trainer, always says on P90X, do your best and forget the rest. So I actually had to split it into 2 days because I got ahead of myself thinking.
No.
So I did half of it one day and half of it the next day. But I won't make that mistake again. P90X, it just works. It is an amazing workout. Trust your trainer, Tony Horton, on P90X. Just do P90X, and it works. How many of you have gym memberships that you're not using or that I'm telling you, P90X, the home workout, it includes everything. You got strength training, you got cardio, you got yoga, and here's what else you got. You have a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days with Mama. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. How about that? Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or, even easier, go to stephaniemiller.com, click on the P90X banner ad, won't you? 22 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack, and much more on Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, baby. 27 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 25 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Beverly in Chicago on Senator Mitch McChinless. Hi, Bev.
Hi. You know, you were talking about Lickalock. Have you ever noticed that Mitch McConnell looks like Mr. Magoo?
Ha! Oh, he does. You're right. You're right.
That's
thank
a
you.
Bit of Yertle the Turtle.
Yertle the Turtle.
I think Mr. Magoo has more of an upper lip, though, don't you, Jim?
Yes, he does. Magoo, you've done it again.
Oh, Jim, breaking out the Jim Backus.
Yay. Oh, Mr. President, you've done it again. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, gang. You know what? First of all, I'm wondering if anyone happened to notice the biggest mistake the Democrats made yesterday was they didn't invite Michelle Bachmann. As well.
That's what I kept hoping. Yeah. I'm like, I hope they only let Joe Wilson and Michelle Bachmann in with the president. That's it.
Oh, could you imagine the audio cotton candy that would have been?
Oh, heaven.
And also, Dr. Coburn, Tom Coburn, you like the way they kept using the word doctor yesterday?
Yes.
He brought up putting in an initiative in the health care bill that if you're a food stamp recipient, as a preventive health care mandate, he wanted the recipients to have to purchase quality food, not junk food. Could you imagine what Rush Limbaugh would be saying about Obama if he tried to force people to eat healthy food?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what I wish the president would have said, Jim? He's too classy for this, but when, you know, like maybe Coburn brought up mandatory, having to buy health insurance, if he would have said, oh, you mean like sterilizing a woman without her consent? Like
oh,
a mandatory
dear.
Sterilization, but without asking her? I'm sorry.
Not supposed to bring that up.
Oh, that's you. Yeah, speaking of medical mistakes, or things you did on purpose without permission.
Hack Dr. Coburn, they should call him.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's up with you? Are you drunk? No, not anymore.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I was writing an email to a friend the other night, and I wrote something. I was like, did I delete that, or have I started cocktail hour already?
Oh? What?
Friends don't have friends drunk email.
Oh, we can make Kennedy jokes again. It's good.
You made some jokes you took some heat for on Dick Cheney's heart attack.
Well, I kind of did, yeah, folks, because, you know, look, I don't think it's funny to make fun of heart disease. My dad's suffering from it. But, I mean, come on. The man has had 5 heart attacks. He cannot be stopped. Cheney is Chucky. You know,
yes.
And here's the thing, and I got in trouble for a joke I told, both in clubs and on the interwebs. If you're a guy who's ordered other people to torture,
yeah,
and then God gives you 5 heart attacks, it's almost like God's
trying to tell you something.
You?
Yeah,
it's a little message, a little wake up call.
It really wasn't a fifth heart attack. He was karma boarded, folks. Dick Cheney got karma boarded this week, and the right wingers suddenly are very sensitive about, you know, not so much about torture and 100,000 civilian deaths in Iraq, but how dare you? This guy is someone's father. He's someone's grandfather. Mm. He's sort of someone's husband. How dare you?
He's almost someone's
how
husband.
How dare you? He's married to one of the greatest silent film actors of all time, Lon Chaney. How dare you? Come out and make a joke about his heart attack. And here's the thing, folks. Heart disease, not funny. Someone suffering, not funny. But when it's Dick Cheney, opposed to government-run health care, whose life was saved this week by government-run health care, and you paid for it, it kind of merits a titter.
Yes.
When this guy ordered other people to torture...
You were a normal person, you'd get dropped from your health insurance. There's no way you'd be able to afford 5 heart attacks.
5 heart attacks. Since 37, he started young.
Yeah, that is really young to have a heart attack.
Pre-existing condition right there.
I think that's exactly right.
There you go.
I think the heart attack was a cover story. I think he had to go down to hell to renegotiate his contract.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world.
We wish him well.
Yes, of course we do.
You know what your reward is for that joke, Jim?
What?
The soothing sounds of Laura Ingraham.
Oh, the anti-Viagra.
Time and again, Bill, what you saw was the president, again, looking like he's listening, right? Then appearing like kind of a, as the National Review's The Corner folks said, kind of a prickly committee chairman. So he was kind of diminished a little bit by this forum. He didn't seem as presidential as he did kind of, you know, like local access county commissioner dealing with the next sewer bond initiative or something.
I don't
kind of appeared irritated.
I thought he did an okay
I just think
job.
He looked diminished.
Wow.
Is the sky blue on the planet she lives on?
Wow.
Bill O'Reilly
I think exactly the opposite was true.
Yeah.
He looked presidential and they looked twitty.
Yeah,
petulant.
I think we buried the lead there. Bill O'Reilly actually
Bill
the president.
Bill O'Reilly actually paid him props last night. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The world is spinning off.
You're
of
wrong, Bill. You're wrong.
Is she the Roseanne Barr of the right wing at this point,
or
is it me? She's getting more nasal.
Roseanne had talent. She's just going to make some guy's life really long.
She really needs to stop saying that you copied her.
That's just stuck in your craw for
that
a long
really
time,
is.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
I started radio several hundred years before she did. I'm copying her.
We have tapes.
Yeah.
O'Reilly.
Talking Points believes the USA is now heading towards bankruptcy, and that would make every citizen sick. There's no way America can afford another multi-trillion dollar entitlement. So health care reform, yes, but it has to be smaller and more marketplace driven.
Please. Yeah, the way
that's
it's driven
now.
Driven into the ground by
if
the marketplace.
If only our country had a budget surplus, we wouldn't have to worry about any of this.
Oh, wait
we?
A minute. We did have one.
You will never go broke telling people they were wrong for 8 years that they're right about everything. And that's Fox News.
Oh, boy. Hannity on the political theater again.
In the end, this eventually was political theater at its finest. And while some have hailed it as a rare moment of transparency in American politics, frankly, the only thing that was rare about today's event was that President Obama actually gave the Republicans a seat at the table.
Yeah, because he hasn't been talking to them at all for a year.
Mark Levin's got to punch up his jokes a bit. They're not landing.
starting to fall flat.
What do you mean starting to fall flat?
Caribou Barbie on Hannity.
Maybe the beer summit was more productive and fruitful than what we saw today coming out of the health care summit. Maybe these guys should have popped some tops off some MGDs and gotten really down to business and gotten the work done. Because what we saw was a lot of political posturing, as had been, I guess, feared, and that did come to fruition.
Political posturing
by Republicans.
They
seriously are paying for that. That's what they're paying for.
They're paying
for
her to do that.
For that insight, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but that's balanced because she's the first non-fake blonde they've hired at Fox, so I respect that. Here's the thing. The beer summit was better because that was where Obama drank a Bud Light, proving to the right-wingers he's half white. But Sarah Palin this week came. This is the week we found out that Tripp Palin is on government-funded health care.
Mm-hmm.
So Grandma is not protecting Tripp from the death panels.
Jim, you can almost diagram it. It's like a Dennis Miller joke. Like the Sarah Palin is just like folksy, stupid joke followed by word salad, right?
Right.
Yes.
Oh, Gary, that's like the beer summit was more, and also too, there's a lot of posturing and things that weren't that fruitful. Oh.
And she always tries to throw in a word that's really big, but she has no idea what it means.
Yeah.
She came in fourth in the CPAC poll 2 years in a row, folks. Watch your tone, okay?
Hey, everybody. Listen up. You can see Caribou Barbie and Glenn Beck. They'll be on stage together next month with country singer John Rich.
Live sexless act.
As part of Taking Our Country Back tour.
Back, yeah. Back to back from antebellum times?
Taking our country back.
Oh, God.
Alaska
that's not enough entertainment
country,
for you. A second rally has been planned for April with Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham.
Oh, good God.
The organizers hope to hold up to 10 more events and are looking to recruit more, as they call it, performers like Karl Rove and Dick Morris.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather go on the Charlie Rangel Caribbean cruise.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on
Charlie
the other
Charlie Rangel?
Obviously, this was all about giving the appearance of reaching out for other ideas. And it was all about setting the premise for a pivot to reconciliation, i.e., meaning the Democrats are not going to try to ram it through on a procedural trick in the Senate and try to cobble the votes required in the House.
In the last Harry Potter book, Charles Krauthammer's hair is one of the Horcruxes. Just
really?
So you know,
I didn't know
find,
that.
Yes.
Oh. Interesting.
He speaks parcel tongue with snakes.
Oh, by the way, Jim, did you, when the president towards the end of the summit said Charlie Rangel, did you at home say,
Jolly Wrangle.
I did.
I can't help it.
It's a side effect. The side effect of the Stephanie Miller.
It's the Jolly Wrangle sound-alike contest.
That mimic. Tucker Carlson.
That mimic is back on again.
Tucker Carlson on the, oh, this is the kind of compassionate conservatism we've come to expect.
Well, George Miller not only has two artificial hips, but a kidney stone. It turns out Louise Slaughter has a friend who borrowed her sister's false teeth. One of the Obama girls had meningitis, the other asthma. Barack Obama's mother passed away. All of this stuff is a species of moral blackmail. I know someone who's suffering. Oh. I am suffering. Therefore, you must accede to my point or you're a bad person. It's ludicrous.
Wow. Well, I'll
see. Wow. So that's, you can't really use real examples of real people
Tucker Carlson
suffering.
Is a bad person, obviously.
Yeah. Yes, how's his Douchington Post site working out for him?
And those weren't just stories, Tucker.
They were true.
They were true. They actually happened, and they shouldn't have
really
in the
dumb?
United States of America.
I don't get it. Is this Avatar? Which ones? Are these real, or are they I don't get it.
Mm.
Okay. Mary Madeline on the Hill.
The liberals think that health care is a right.
Yes.
And conservatives and Republicans think it's a responsibility. This approach is let's have mandated government entitlement, and the Republican approach is let's have market transparency and accountability, and will drive down prices and it'll keep up the care. Let's have that discussion. Yeah. And if you want to have it on a faulty policy process, go. Let's go.
Drive the prices down by killing sick people. That's how they do it.
Listen to me now and forget all the things I was wrong about since 1982.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Isn't Jim Cheeks describing exactly what we're doing now?
Yes.
It's like, yes, okay,
if all
the market
sick people
is dictating.
Will just die, then prices will go down.
Right. The insurance companies just made, what did I say earlier, Chris? The five top, they made like a 59% profit in the last year.
Yes, they did.
They made 59% more in this year, and they did it by dropping a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, that's how
And not
how
covering
works.
A whole bunch of stuff.
And now they're raising their rates.
Rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people.
Right.
It works.
All right.
Exactly.
That concludes a right-wing world. Oh, although I got to wait. Chris, can I have my conspiracy snossage music? Jim, you'll love this one. Oh, boy. Oh, how right-wing fringy is this? Except Frank Gaffney, he's on TV all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
yes.
supposed to be a credible right-wing guy they talk to about whatever.
Whatever.
He has posited that the missile defense logo is evidence of Obama's submission to Sharia.
Yes, I saw that.
What?
He is a neocon. He's one of the Richard Pearl guys.
Yes.
Yeah. He has firmly entered the world of right-wing tinfoil hat paranoia. His new right-wing conspiracy theory claiming the Obama administration manipulated the redesign of the Missile Defense Agency to look like his campaign logo. The theory then evolves to claims that the new logo incorporates the Islamic crescent.
Ha ha ha!
That's right.
Frank Gaffney explaining Obama's rationale behind his cuts to missile defense. How so? Well, because he's a secret Muslim, of course, which since all Muslims are out to destroy America, means that Obama's about to do the same.
There we go.
He writes,
yes.
Seems to fit an increasingly obvious and worrying pattern of official U.S. submission to Islam and the theo political legal program the latter's authorities call Sharia. Watch this space.
God.
As we identify and consider various ominous and far more clear-cut acts of submission to Sharia by President Obama.
Thank you, General Ripper.
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, FYI, GTK, this logo, it was used prior to the 2008 election, before there was an Obama.
Exactly my point. That's because
before there was a
went back in time machine.
It has no link to any political campaign.
The same people warning us he's a Muslim are the same people warning us he's got a bad Christian pastor.
Exactly. Yep.
Beautiful.
And just our other favorite far-right fringer, Jim, the oily taint. She, this is good news for J.D., for John McCain. She's backing J.D. Hayworth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's going to be great for him.
She's stepping up to defend J.D. Hayworth. Oily taint, she's the dentist lawyer, birther leader.
If you have a nest of birthers, take out the queen.
She is taking offense at an ad the McCain camp released linking Hayworth with her. The ad is titled Identity. It begins, "These are serious economic times, yet some are consumed by conspiracies," before cutting to video of Tate's and then Hayworth questioning Obama's citizenship.
Hmm.
Tate's responded on a post on her website attacking McCain. Yeah, because he didn't let her finish.
No, let me finish. No, you will be done.
She attacked McCain for ignoring the most important issue the country is facing today, which, of course, is that the president is not a citizen.
Kenyan Muslim commie socialist.
Tate's called the ad, which she misspelled as ADD throughout the post.
Awesome.
She called it despicable and appalling. She went on to challenge McCain to a televised debate on the president's citizenship. Yes.
I pay cash money for that.
Oh, she said, Senator McCain owes me and my clients. I don't know if she means her dental clients or whoever. Well, whatever. An apology and an opportunity to discuss this matter with him on the merits on national TV on a widely watched show such as Sean Hannity's show.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's
great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, Cash, that could be pay-per-view. Oh, I would love that.
You know, here's the thing. The people who are still defending the birth certificate conspiracy, they're kind of like those Star Wars fans who still defend Jar Jar Binks. You know, like, oh, kids liked him. It was a good kids movie, episode one. Come on now. She'll find any ad hoc hypothesis, folks. Once again, the state of Hawaii went digital in 2001. No one has an original Hawaii birth certificate anymore. Chuck Norris knows this, so let's see his original hair.
The McCain-Tate's debate, Jim, that's, as you know, well, that's the one we want to see only slightly less than the oily taint Ross Perot. yeah. That one we want to see. Now, can I finish?
Let me finish.
Can I finish?
Let me finish. You're not letting me. Don't interrupt me.
I got a chart. Can I finish?
I have a chart, too. I have a big chart.
Can I finish?
I have a bigger chart. It's in Ukrainian.
See, it's just another little improv skit by the Stephanie Miller players.
I'm David Pattison, and I'm just done.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow, I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! John Pugos and I are going to make snow angels with my dogs Max and Fred in Central Park now. Woo-hoo!
That's right.
Or snow elephants.
Did you bring them to work with you?
Parks does. No. Oh.
No. Just their pheromones are all over.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we have to start Celebrity Stack with a shout out to the, what's the NCAA? That's the
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball. Yeah. I knew that.
It can also be football.
What's that?
It can also be football. Or hockey.
They have pulled their the Focus on the Family ad over complaints about the group's homophobic positions.
Good.
Hooray for them.
Homophobic positions are some of the hottest ones. They're working things out.
The NCAA pulled the, Focus on the Family banner ad off their website. They said the NCAA made the decision after some of its members, including faculty and athletic directors, expressed concern the evangelical group's stance against gay and lesbian relationships conflicted with the NCAA's policy of inclusion regardless of sexual orientation. There we go. Good for the gay.
As opposed to Jesus, who said focus on leaving your family behind.
Exactly. So here's another, speaking of the homophobes, Carrie Prejean is living in sin.
Oh, dear.
With her fiancé,
wow.
Kyle somebody.
Slut.
In the St. Louis
look at her.
Ram.
Slut.
She's still not hot.
She's a slut. Look at her. Slut.
Yeah, but her boobs are still fake.
Yes, the superficial writes, of course, learning an outspoken Christian with fake is a hypocrite isn't exactly news. But check out the trend she started. Here's Laura Ashley, Miss Beverly Hills 2010, telling Fox News gay people should be stoned. If this pattern continues, we can pretty much count on a 2011 Miss California contender walking on stage with Perez Hilton's severed head.
I like Carrie. Carrie Prejean's kind of like a female Ann Coulter, you know? I respect that.
I've known some gay people who were stoned. College.
Chris, what was the update? Beverly Hills is saying that she's not Miss Beverly Hills?
Yeah,
so
Beverly
she's
Hills,
actually, even her title is fake, the Beverly, along with her.
The city of Beverly Hills does not have a Miss Beverly Hills pageant. So
who is she?
We have no idea. I think she's just a fame seeker.
She's someone who has enough hate to get on Fox.
Yeah, she told Fox News that she has lots of friends that are gay. And there's no hate between her and anyone. Just because I think they should be stoned to death.
They deserve death, but I don't have anything against them.
Whatever, they don't care.
It's, hey, it's God's rule, not mine. And now we've got to stone children who are gluttons or drunk, so she's next.
As you know, gay people should be striving for marital unity, like Tiger Woods. Superficial writing. Realizing the old sex edition routine was about 25 cocktail waitresses past its prime, Tiger Woods has checked himself into an Arizona rehab clinic for addiction to Vicodin and Ambien now.
Well, they were talking about the day of his accident, so that's interesting it's finally coming
in
out.
The Inquirer reports in therapy, Tiger blamed a lot of his cheating on his drug addiction.
Yes.
Saying that the drugs are responsible.
Sleep bleeping, one of the Ambien side effects.
Yeah, it's a superficial rights, right, because popping a bunch of sleeping pills and painkillers is the reason Tiger Woods loves so much. Before this, he was practically Amish.
Well, Tiger is Buddhist, and I want to congratulate him on a truly empty apology.
Oh, did you hear this one? Chris Brown compared himself to Tiger Woods in a radio interview.
Oh, yeah.
Saying both he and the golf icon deserve second chances from the public for their mistakes. Whatever his personal life is, and I think this goes for me and him, his personal life, it's a felony. Your personal life isn't personal. It's a felony when you beat someone up.
Why did Rihanna let that man get away? She's crazy, girl. You just like Tina let Ike get away. Same thing. Chris Brown deserves to be passed around a cell block like a blunt at the Source Awards.
Chris, where is my...
Send in the wise.
Where is my American Idol sting? Here's the gossip, John.
Tell me.
Ellen DeGeneres and Simon apparently not getting along.
Really? Who could have seen that coming?
TMZ writes, Ellen and Simon might be sitting far apart because they can't stand each other. D-listed writing, it's because she doesn't like that he's so mean to the contestants. This, of course, fuels Simon's bitch fire. Okay, is Ellen new here? Because Simon has been a bitchy-ass bitch from Bitchtown for centuries. I mean, it's in the Bible and everything. And it's hard to, D-listed finishing by saying, it's hard to watch that mess without Paula Abdul. It's like going to group therapy and find out your favorite crazy. The one who would always tell the therapist to F off, moved, or got committed.
Yeah. Although Kara has been stepping up to the crazy this season.
Oh,
yeah.
Is she?
Yeah, she has. She's been acting a little loopy.
Oh, with the guy with the taking the shirt off.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, she's going after the guys, and that's getting a little creepy because she's married and all.
Huh.
There's two things that show is good at, generating controversy out of nothing every week for ratings and making sure the best singer finishes second.
Yes, yes.
Maybe she's trying to be the female Tiger Woods. Maybe that's her goal.
Chris, before I fly to Chicago tomorrow, can I have my screaming airline passengers sound effect, please? Nicole Richie admits she scared passengers when she co-piloted a flight recently.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
She go the wrong way on the runway?
I wouldn't trust her on a Segway, let alone flying a plane.
She said, I flew to Montreal, and by flew, I mean I actually flew. My partners, Rick and Brian, let me be the co-pilot. That was so much fun.
They didn't tell her the autopilot was on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are letting Nicole Richie fly the plane.
Where's my parachute?
We're letting someone who was high on Vicodin drive the wrong way on the L.A. freeway fly your aircraft.
Yeah, it's assume the crash position already. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoie, Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno, and, of course, John Fugelsang, because it's Friday.
Hot.
We'll see you Monday for the Rude Pundit and Eric Bollert from Media Matters on the Stephanie Miller Show.